Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I want to say thank you to the listeners and to the supporters. I appreciate everybody listening to this podcast. Thank you. Tonight's topic is reboot your marriage and forget about divorcing. So yeah, we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about why there's so many divorces and how to prevent going down that path of divorce. Because trust me, divorce is an ugly thing, ugly word. So we're going to want to talk about that. And also we're going to cover the next question, which is, how would you feel if your best friend or family member dated an ex? So this and much more when we come back. All right, we're back. We are back. So let's get into this question of the night. How would you react if your best friend or family member dated an ex? Would you be upset? Would you be happy? I doubt many people would be happy with that situation. But being that y'all not together no more, and your best friend, you know, he or she done been with you for years, and they know, you know, who you are, and they respect you, shouldn't you want them to be happy, even if it's with somebody that you don't fuck with no more? You know what I mean? Fuck with no more? That's a hard question. That's it. To me, I look at it like, I look at breakups like some of them, not all of them. Because a couple of them is like, okay, I'm so glad to get that motherfucker out of my life. I couldn't wait. But when you love someone, care for them, been with them for a minute, your heart aches for them, and you lose them, either they break up with you or you decide that it's best y'all go your separate ways, or, you know, a situation happened where someone had to move and you had to end the relationship, but whatever it is. For me, there's been times breakups felt like the five stages of death. And if you don't know what the five stages of death is, it is denial, anger, bargaining, depression. That hits home right there. And of course, who's that one? Denial, depression, bargaining, anger. Denial, depression, anger, bargaining, depression. Acceptance. That's the one. Acceptance. When you have to accept the fact that they've moved on. But I'm going to cover all five of them. So, how would you feel if your best friend started dating your ex? Would it feel like a sense of betrayal, a lack of trust? Would you be wondering, hey, so all this time I was with her and I was telling you about what's going on, or with him, either or, you know what I'm saying? Were you plotting to get with them, hoping that we would break up? You couldn't wait until we broke up? That thought is going to immediately pop in your head. I don't care who you are. You can sit here and deny that shit all you want. But you're going to wonder what type of friend you have and how it was so easy to get with somebody that I dealt with. Me personally, never. I've never dealt with someone that I've known, being long-term, short-term. I've never felt the need to go behind somebody's back and date somebody's ex. Have I looked? Yeah. Have I thought about it? Yeah, it might have crossed my mind, but then my morals kicked in. And then plus, there's too many goddamn women in the world. There's too many women. I know people say there's a shortage of men. Nah. When it comes to, you know, you fucking your homeboy's friend or getting with someone that your homegirl, someone that your friend, your best girlfriend done dealt with, it just don't make sense. It's too many people to do that, but to each his own. I don't knock it. Me personally, it's not habit. Because trust is a big, for me, friendship is not important. And what I mean by that is, I don't have a whole lot of friends. I have maybe 4 or 5 friends. Now, I have a lot of people who I fuck with and who I'm cool with and who I'll reach out and be like, yo, what's up? But 4 or 5 people who I truly know that I can count on or who I could just have a conversation with. And I'm good with that. So out of those 4, 2 are women. So 3 of them are men. It's 4 to 5. So it's, I know 2 are women. And 2 are women, 3 are men. And those 3 guys, no matter what, would never deal with somebody who I dealt with. And vice versa. And that's how you, that, alike minds think alike. People with the same thought process think alike. On one hand, you might be happy with your best friend dealing with that person, which is fucking rare. But on the other hand, you're going to be upset. Like I said, you're going to be kind of pissed off. And it may get to a point where you might say, hey, you know what? Choose her or me. Now, that's on some fucked up shit. But some people have friendships that tight. They believe that friendship is unbreakable. That type of friendship is unbreakable. Even for a woman who may have the best goddamn loving this person done had, or they may have the best connection that they have, but you want him to choose between a fine-ass, good-looking, sexy, soft, sensuous woman compared to your old pissed off, angry, hard legs, crusty ass man. Oh man, if a friend of mine, if a friend ever presented that to me, he got to go. Friendship is important, yeah. But love is much more important. And I can't lay up with him. I'm not trying to lay up with him. And it's not all about laying up. It's about a connection that I can have with the opposite sex that's going to help me in life and that's going to have some type of purpose. Because he and our friendship, his and my friendship will have a purpose, but it's only a minimum. It's only so much we can be cool about. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes seeing an ex together with a friend or a family member, it will feel like those 5 stages of death. And I've seen the 5 stages of death. I've seen it working at a job. I've seen it twice. And then I saw my father go through something similar. And I couldn't watch it. It was hard. It was hard to see my father be strong to where he was when it was his time. So relationships don't have that type of impact, but for some, losing someone can be fucking painful to a point where you feel like dying. So the first one is denial. Many people react negatively to their best friend dating a boyfriend or girlfriend. And denial is a coping mechanism that allows people to avoid the distress of a negative event, In case of a friend dating the ex, denial allows people to believe that the situation is not really happening. It's not going down like that. It's just a image in their mind. But this can help people avoid feeling hurt, betrayal, upset, mad with that motherfucker. Denial may also allow people to maintain a relationship with both friends and ex. So it's a two-part situation with denial. And that's however you choose to use it. The next one is anger. That's self-explanatory. Anger is off the rip. That shit's going to happen. I think maybe one time somebody dated someone I played ball with. Because I came to the gym. I hadn't been to the gym in a while. Something happened. I hadn't been to the gym in a while. So I came to the gym and this guy was like, "Yo, you all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "Well, I know you and old girl broke up." I said, "Yeah, we going our separate ways, man. She crazy as a motherfucker." He said, "Oh, okay, so you ain't even going to trip if you find out that old boy been fucking her." I'm like, "Who's old boy?" He said, "Dude over there with the black Air Force Ones, the slim brother." I'm like, "Really?" Now, when I heard it, it hurt. I ain't gonna lie. Shit. I was like, "Ow, no. No, even though we were through, I gave her walking papers, and I was like, yo, I just can't do this shit no more. You crazy, yo." She, in that sack, oh my God. So it was either good loving or my sanity, and I chose my sanity, you know what I'm saying? Because she was blowing me, man. She was too much to handle, you know, on a day-to-day basis. She changed personalities. I think she had about 3 or 4. But anyway, yeah, I mean, just finding out. So we playing ball, and we on opposite sides of the squad. We playing against each other. So I'm going hard in the paint. I'm going hard. Normally, I'm not like a, you know, down in the paint basketball player. I'm more of a shooter. But to that day, I was flexing, you know, a little bit. And, you know, he gave it back to me. He knew what was up. He knew exactly why we was going toe-to-toe. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't have no conversation, but we had that thing like, "Yeah, okay, I know you went on girl." And he gave it to me back like, "Yeah, I'm fucking your ex, big dude." So I had to take that for like 2 hours of playing ball. And, you know, we was cool, and we didn't speak other than, "Yo, what's up?" But we didn't have no beef other than between the basketball lines. And I was angry. I wanted to call her. I wanted to get in her ear and be like, what the fuck? But I had to accept that L. I had to take it on the chin and keep it moving. The next one is bargaining. Now, I was at a point where I wanted to bargain with her. Like, if you let him go, then, you know, we could try to work this out. I'll do, you know, some extra shit. I mentioned that, but I guess he was putting in that work because she was like, "No." I'm like, "Oh, shit." It was like a egg being thrown in my face because I thought I had the upper hand. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what she told me. She gassed me up. And I knew I was, you know, bringing that heat, but, you know, she was like, "No." So bargaining, it's hard to see your best friend date your ex, but even harder is getting through the situation without damaging the friendship. When it comes to bargaining, it's important to remember that you and your friend share a close bond that should not be ruined over something as trivial as that type of situation. But for most people, that's not trivial. That's some real shit. That's some real hurtful shit. But there are a few things you can make, you can do to make the situation a little bit more bearable. First is trying to be understanding and supportive of your friend. Because that's what a true friend would do. Be understanding and supportive. And it's easy to say. You are not built like that. Most people are not built like that. They just feel like everything has to be their way. I don't want to share. I don't feel like I have to share. And why are you making me share? Why is it that I have to give up something so you can have and be happy? Depression. Depression is a mental illness that causes people to feel sad and hopeless for long periods of time. Especially if they're close. I'm sorry. It can be difficult to deal with someone who is depressed, especially if they're close to you. If your best friend starts dating your ex, you may feel a range of emotions. A lot of emotions all at one time coming down like this motherfucker here. I can't believe this son of a bitch is with my woman. But that's how it is. That's life. And you have to, you have to sometimes deal with those range of emotions, which can be anger, sadness, and even jealousy. You can be jealous that your friend or your family member is hitting the person you're with, the woman that you're with, in my case, the woman. It is critical to remember that your best friend is not trying to hurt you. Your family member is not trying to hurt you. And that you should talk to them about how you're feeling. That's difficult. That's difficult to have that type of conversation, especially with men. For another man to approach another man and say, hey, okay, she chose you. Or you with her now. I accept that. And acceptance is the last one. To say that you understand is one thing, but to accept it is a whole different ball game. You find yourself forcing yourself to accept, to acknowledge that, okay, she's moved on, and she's moved on with somebody that you know, that you're close to, and someone that you care about as a good friend or as a family member. Now accept it and move the fuck on. Crushing. It is crushing to even the most thorough, hardcore, strong, alpha male dude will find a hard way to accept that. And if he say he doesn't, he's lying. He'll tell you that shit in front of his face. But when you go home, it's like, I can't believe this shit. I can't believe this motherfucker here. To wrap this thing up, how to handle the situation if your best friend starts dating your ex. Try to see that your best friend likely has good intentions. Now, what them intentions are, that's good. The only thing I could think of, he's about to get something that I had, you know, but seriously. Yeah, okay. I just hadn't got to that point where I think I can see, you know, good intentions. And I might be off a little bit. I might be in my feelings or whatever, but, you know, that's me. Like I said, you know, once you see that they have good intentions, you got to find a way to move on. Talk to your friend if you need to. Talk to the young lady or the guy, whoever you're dating, and try to come to some type of, resolution. And if you cannot overcome your feelings, it may be best to distance yourself from your best friend, family member, and your ex. All right, so we're going to be right back with the topic of the night. Okay, we're back. And we're going to talk about this topic tonight, which is reboot your marriage and forget about divorcing. I found this quote that I found to be interesting, and it's by Cynthia Tobias. And it goes like this. In the end, divorce is more initiated. I'm sorry, I messed it up. In the end, divorce is most often initiated not by one party, but by both of them. And both of them are far too smart to ignore the clearest evidence of what marriage really is. Cynthia Tobias. And that resonated with me because personally, I didn't handle my divorce well. I knew it was coming, but when that shit jumped on me, it was like I was all over the place. Because my ex-wife did everything. She ran that household like a fine oil machine. And once I got out of that house, came to Atlanta, I struggled. I had to learn how to balance a checkbook, pay bills on time, pay car insurance, all of that, that when I was coming up, I saw how men would make the money and give to the woman. Or sometimes they would sit down at the table together, but the woman did most of the bill paying. The man would just hand the money like, okay, I need this, blah, blah, blah. Here's $50. Do what you got to do. Here's $100. Back then, bills wasn't that, crazy. So that was my mentality. That, okay, I'm supposed to work, give her the money, let her do that shit. Do what she got to do as far as paying bills or taking care of the household. So, it took a minute to recover from that. I think it took me about 8 months, maybe a year, to get back to a point where I could do, where I can work, pay bills, and be responsible. I'm not saying I wasn't responsible when I was with her, but it was like, I wasn't really taught how to run a house. You know what I'm saying? Being in a single parent's household. And my mom, she constantly worked. So, I didn't learn a lot of shit until I got married and when I got in the Navy. But divorce rates have been falling steadily since 2010 as the nation grapples with the recession and a pandemic. Experts predict the drop will stall or even reverse, at least in the short term. Couples are getting married again, but the rate of divorce is definitely going up. A study released this week expects this to happen, with experts predicting that the most divorces in 2022 will be among couples married less than 20 years before. Isn't marriage great? You ask a lot of people that question, and I think you're going to get about 60-40, maybe 70-30, 70 being hell nah, 30 being, yeah, my marriage is good. And I think the one thing people deal with is situations. Shit happens in the marriage. You have relationship issues. Things are going to happen. Everything's not going to be, you know, hunky-dory. Well, it also has its share of difficulty. I think one of marriage's biggest hurdles is that it can feel like a full-time job. Hear, hear. Marriage at times has felt like another job that you're not getting paid. You're getting some benefits now. You're getting a few benefits. But they ain't much. You know what I'm saying? Like those first 2 years when you get together, you in that bed constantly knocking each other out. Then you have kids. Then you have another kid. Now you got two or three heads up in the house with both of you, so that's five people. So now you got to work extra shifts at the job. So when you get off 12 o'clock at night, most of the time your woman is asleep with the children in the bed, and there's some cold dinner left on the stove. And then you're sitting there, and you're looking at that woman. And you're wondering, what happened? I thought marriage was all about sex and traveling and happiness and this and that. And then you start to experience issues. You start finding shit that's wrong in the house. You start going at each other. The children need more attention. And then you slowly start to pull apart. Some may say that you probably think that the marriage is about to fail. When two people get married, they both agree to be together until death do them part. However, sometimes one person decides that they want to end the marriage because of what I just said a few minutes ago, the little issues that start to mount up and becomes a big mass problem. This can be a difficult decision for both parties involved, but it's also important to remember that it is the decision of the person who wants to leave. You have to respect that. You have to acknowledge that. And if you're in this situation, you the person who don't want the divorce, take you some time. Reevaluate the situation. Try to figure out what's your next move. And also, step out of your shoes and step into your partner's shoes and see what it is that makes them want to walk away from what you thought was a good relationship. In the United States, it's estimated that around half of all marriages will end in divorce. While there are many reasons why couples may choose to split up, one of the most common causes is when one person decides they no longer want to be married. In many cases, the couple may try to work things out, but if they're unable to, then you got that one person who's going to file for divorce because it's something that needs to be done. They not reached the end of the line. They're at that cliff. They're about to jump off. It seems like every day we hear stories of couples getting divorced or newlywed couples' marriages failing due to infidelity. Infidelity. Now, you know, I didn't know what that word meant the first time someone told me. I don't know what I thought it was, but I didn't know it meant cheating. So they said it to me, and I can't remember exactly how I took it, but I took it as a good thing, I think. And then I had somebody explain it to me, like, oh shit, that's me. That's me. She hit it right on the head. Also, a lack of sex life and other factors. Some people believe that marriage is about love. Also, a lot of people feel marriage is about sex. Having good sex in the marriage every day, all day. And like I said a few minutes ago, yeah, it's good for like maybe a year. You might squeeze 2 years depending on if you have a child within those 2 years. And if you don't let somebody get into your ear and ear fuck you. Now what I mean by that is, say you look good or, you know, gas you up, make you think that you everything instead of listening to the words of your partner. Trust me, those first couple of years, yeah, they're going to be, you know, nice, but once them other situations starts to pop up into your marriage or your relationship, then things start to change and you can't stop it. It's an automatic shift in the relationship. Sometimes you don't even see it. You enjoy yourself and you're happy and you're loving. And next thing you know, you barking at each other like you can't stand each other. Arguing in front of the kids. Walking out the house. Sleeping in the car. Because you can't work things out. They say that two's company, three's a crowd. The reason relationships are complicated and hard to negotiate. So if you've been married for more than 5 years, it may be time to have a frank talk about your frank talk with your spouse and see if their behavior is putting a damper on your marriage. And when I say behavior, if someone else is in their ear, if someone else is talking to them, if they're making time for someone else. Because you feel it, you know it, you see it. You know when shit ain't right. You know when someone else done told her she looks good. Because she wears a different perfume every day. She wears a nice dress every day. You try to give her a kiss or a hug, she's like, you're going to mess up my makeup or my lipstick. What? Are you serious? Nowadays, marriages have become more complicated as people have more options than before. And I know I've mentioned this as far as technology and the internet and dating apps and, you know, DMs. All these things have change the way people are affected in marriages. And it can also lead to helping people walk towards that line of getting divorced. There are plenty of ways to get divorced. Most people don't realize that when they get married. However, this does not mean that getting divorced is easy, especially if one of the spouses is not ready to say goodbye. Because, you know, you probably had that situation where someone is begging you or pleading with you, please don't leave. I'm sorry. Don't go, baby. I'm sorry. Please, I'll do right. Damn. I've said that a couple of times in my lifetime. And my begging got to a point, you know, where I think I got on my knees one time. I remember one time me and my ex-wife, she was a religious woman. Couldn't get me to go to church for nothing. But I had fucked up so bad. I guess she was just at the end of her rope with my ass. She was like, So I went out my way and I found a pastor to help us with group counseling, because before I was like, shit, I don't need nobody talking to me about my motherfucking marriage. This me and you. But the fact that I was getting ready to lose her, I had to do it because I didn't want to lose her. Now, we worked out for a while, but then I think it got to a point where it wasn't meant to be anymore. So we went our ways, you know. And that goes to the next topic, which is I made bad decisions. Now, honestly, I can say that I can't recall my ex-wife making bad decisions. Not decisions like I made. She was on point. I just wasn't ready for it. I wasn't mentally strong to deal with what it was she could have given me. It's a common belief that marriage makes relationships stronger and less likely to break up. Statistics shows otherwise. In fact, in the United States, 1 in every 3 marriages end in divorce. Being in a union has its challenges. But some people make the wrong decisions, choosing divorce just when they should be working through the challenges of married life. I know people who have broken up for months, a couple of years, found their way back to each other, stronger than ever, as if nothing happened. So there's something that holds you. There's some type of glue between you and that person that will hold you together. You just gotta find it. Even if it takes a year, even if it takes 2 years. I know people who've been laid off from each other for like 5, 10 years and got back together. Now, some people were like, had gotten sick or was on their last leg in life, you know, needed some help to, you know, get back on. But whatever the reason, they made it back to each other and they happy now. I'm talking about people I've known for years. So the possibility of rebooting a marriage, it can definitely happen. You just got to be willing to do it. Why do some marriages work out while others don't? There's a lot of blame that goes around in marriage. Lack of communication, money problems, and other issues are often cited as culprits. But after years of being together, what really causes marriage to end and what makes couples decide to divorce? And I think, honestly, it just gets to a point where you just realize you can't take no more as far as divorcing or outside of children and property and whatever you may have together to stay and reboot a marriage. That genuine love, that love that's unbreakable. Yeah, you're going to go through it. You're going to have hard times. You're going to probably want to divorce, but it's going to be something inside you that's going to say, nah, we're supposed to be together. Next, divorce isn't the end of the world. In this not so distant past, divorce was considered both shameful and unfashionable. However, as Western society has become more liberal and relaxed over the years, divorce rates has risen. Those who find themselves in the latter, as a result, many people are entering marriages and divorcing, and those who find themselves in the latter situation are often surprised to discover that they have a strong support network that they did not expect. So I know when we got divorced, I didn't have nobody to talk to because it was just my pride wouldn't let me. I felt like I had to deal with it myself. Whereas my ex-wife had a strong support, family members who may have experienced it or, you know, who was just willing to help her get through that point. And I saw how it helped her because she was doing a whole lot better than I was. You know what I'm saying? I was really struggling up in Atlanta where she was like, she had a moment, and I don't know exactly because we don't really talk about it, but from what I saw, you know, she took care of the kids and took care of herself, you know, and I have to salute her for that. Whereas I couldn't even get myself together. I had many times I was just sitting there listening to, listening to old Al Green songs and Luther. We had this one song, Superstar. Man, that was our song. So I would sit with a 40-ounce. I would sit with a 40-ounce of Old English or Crazy Horse or whatever, and just sit there looking out the window. It's raining. Listen to Luther over and over and over again. Realizing that I fucked up. I had the best situation and I lost it on some bullshit, you know. Life is hard enough. If you get married, you hope that you can make it through until death do you part. But that's just not how shit works. I've been married. I've seen people get divorced. It's not easy, fun, or pretty. Sometimes it's actually heartbreaking. Me included. Happiness can happen. Does exist after divorce. It's common to hear people say that they don't want to get divorced, but divorce is not a decision any person makes lightly. It's one that can cause deep emotional pain, and it's common for divorcees to compare themselves to those who are still married. You might think that once you've gotten married, you're set for life. But nah, sometimes you're not. The most obvious effect of a marriage is financial impact. The most obvious effect of a divorce is financial impact. Because you go from sharing everything to having to split. That includes home, property, and children. And when I say splitting children, you have to split time. You know, I know with me, it was like my children came during the summer. You know, I had to take off a couple of weeks in order to have them. You know, I did that a couple of summers. And it worked out pretty good. But still, those Christmases and Thanksgiving and birthdays, you know, it was hard not seeing them unless I went home, you know. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it may take a while to overcome the impact of divorce, but all is not lost. You just have to find a way to bounce back. And to wrap this up, marriage is a big commitment, but sometimes a divorce is the best option. In the end, marriage is commitment. But you may have to look at the option of divorce. If a marriage is a union that joins two people in an intimate and lasting relationship, a divorce definitely is the process that legally ends a marriage and split the belongings of spouses. Even if you go into a marriage thinking it will last forever, it's important to have a plan. While it's easy to agree to spend the rest of your life together, when you're young and in love, it's important to know the rights and options if the marriage does not work out. And that's that, yo. So, one of those topics that's been sitting, that's kind of, certain topics I don't want to cover because it has an effect on me, you know what I'm saying? So I have to get to that point to bring it up. Because I have shared shit with people I don't even know. So I would have never done that years ago. But I'm at a point where I'm happy I'm content with life. I'm moving in a different lane. And everything is beautiful, man. Everything is lovely. You know, doctors say I'm doing good, eating right. So life is good. But I'm glad I was able to share it. It was kind of long. This podcast may be a little long, but, you know, I think the question of the day was maybe 20 minutes. So this is going to be like another 20 minutes. So this is probably one of my longest podcasts. But I'm getting to a point where I can, you know, talk for a long period of time or, you know, cut it short, maybe do 18, 20 minutes, you know. Because I know people don't have a whole lot of time to listen to my podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. But the people who do, who support, who listens, thank you. So if you have any questions, anything you want me to talk about, anything you want to critique me on, please hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. And you can come at me as long as you're respectful. You respect me, I respect you. Check out the book. I'm working on this other book, y'all. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So check out the book, Hearts Seduction, on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble's online, Apple Play Store. And just Google the title, Heart Seduction by J.R. Robinson, so you'll find it. My first book that I, you know, put together. It's very short. You know what I mean? But, you know, the way things are now, a lot of people don't like reading long novels. They want to read something for a few seconds or a couple of minutes and then go back to work and go back and do anything. So please check it out. You know, support. I'm not going to ask you for cash. I'm going to ask you to support that book, though. You know what I mean? And please like, subscribe, and share the podcast. Please, that's what's helping to grow the podcast. Share it. You know what I'm saying? Share it to someone who like to talk about sex and relationships. And the other day, someone hit me with, why are you not talking about just fucking and sucking and eating pussy? I had to let them know that's not where I'm at. You know, I ain't no young boy. There's more to relationships and sex than just eating pussy and fucking. So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I can show you. If you need me to show you to some podcasts that do that, I can show you that. But I think I'm just a little bit more mental than that. You know what I mean? So, that's how I'm going to come, and that's who I am, and that's who I'm going to be. So, if you fuck with me, fuck with me. And if you don't, understand. So y'all have a good night. Y'all take care of yourself. Stay healthy. Be safe in these streets. And I'll see y'all on Wednesday night. Peace.